Good evening. My name is Tom Dignan. I have the privilege of being your moderator this evening. Coffee and snacks are being provided this evening by Destination Imagination, which is a creative problem-solving program that spans grades 1 through 12 in this town. I want to give you the usual reminders. There's no smoking. I would ask everybody to speak to give their name and address each time you speak in order to assure a clear record. If you desire to be recognized, the easiest way to assure that is to approach one of the microphones. I'll be sure to see you there. All motions of substance, and that includes main motions and motions to amend the main motion, should be delivered to the clerk in writing before they are made. Only registered voters of the town and non-resident town employees may speak without leave of the hall. And finally, I caution those of you who are here because of a special matter of concern to not vote the hall as soon as we have voted, or someone may seek a counted vote or seek reconsideration. Finally, because we have such a large turnout tonight, there is an auxiliary facility in the gym. I have appointed Mr. Myron Fox, the assistant moderator for the town of Sudbury. Mr. Fox is a distinguished member of the bar and a former selectman of the town. In addition, tellers have been appointed for this meeting and have been sworn already by the town clerk, as has Mr. Fox. In the gym, the tellers are Bill Maloney and Gene Maloney, Joe Allen Smogila, Frank Ascioni, Beverly Gill, Lorraine Knapp. In the hall, we have Larry Blacker, Lorraine Braun, Kirsten Van Dyke, Clifford Card, Bob Coe, and Richard Bell. And if I mispronounce any names, I apologize completely. All right. I have been advised by the town clerk that in conformity with Section 11 of Article 2 of the town bylaws, a timely notice of intention to move for reconsideration of the action taken at the last session under Article 54 of the warrant has been filed. In conformity with the town bylaw, that matter will be taken up as the first order of business at the next session of town meeting, or if all other business is completed before 10:30 this evening, as the last order of business in tonight's session. I believe a handout has gone out as to what the order of procedure will be tonight, but just in case anyone hasn't seen it, let me run it through for you briefly. We will deal with the reconsideration of Article 49. We will then deal with the rest of the warrant, which is Articles 55, 6, and 7. Then we will go and deal with the postponed article, Article 4, the budget. Then we will deal with Article 2, which is budget adjustments and was postponed. And then we will deal with Article 33, the cutting property, and which also was postponed till this time. And at that point, if it is not yet 10:30, we will take up the reconsideration of Article 54. Please remain in order. As announced at the last session of town meeting, the first order of business this evening will be the reconsideration of the action taken by the hall with respect to Article 49 in the warrant. The action taken was to defeat a main motion under that article, which, if passed, would have amended the zoning bylaw of the town by amending sections 3200 and 7000 of the zoning bylaw as it affects signs and advertising devices. Now, before I recognize someone to make the motion for reconsideration, I should like to remind our veteran attendees and advise those of you who may not have attended a town meeting before for the first time what the limits are with respect to debate on a motion to reconsider. Our town bylaw states the basic rules succinctly. All discussion on the motion must be confined exclusively to the merits or demerits of reconsideration. What this requires of me as moderator is to assure to the greatest extent possible that the debate focuses not on the merits or demerits of the substance of the action taken with respect to Article 49, but rather on why the town should reconsider its action. So that speakers will not be caught unawares, I thought it might be useful if I give a few illustrations of what do or do not constitute proper lines of argument on reconsideration. Basically, arguments which are proper are those which seek to persuade the listener that, in the words of the manual which governs town meeting, quote, it is reasonable to suppose that the town might have changed its collective mind, unquote. Examples of such arguments would be
that the action was taken by a group that was not representative of the town as a whole because the session at which the action was taken was not well attended, or that the motion voted on varied so significantly from the article that people may have not attended because they were unaware of everything that could happen within the four corners of the article. Improper arguments are those which seek to address the merits or demerits of the substantive action taken. It is not proper to argue, in essence, that you don't like the prior result and simply want another vote. It will not be proper to argue why the proposed change to the bylaw would be good for the town. That argument must be held in abeyance until when, as, and if two-thirds of the hall votes to reconsider. I hope what I've said is helpful to those of you who intend to address the motion to reconsider. And I remind all that the rules apply to everyone, including those who present the motion and all town officials. At this time, I'm recognizing Mr. Keller, who I understand will make the motion to reconsider the action taken under Article 49. Mr. Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I'd like to move for the reconsideration of Article 49.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Keller, you're recognized for 10 minutes in support of your motion.
After the instructions, I don't think I can speak for 10 minutes.
That's okay.
Well, I had a whole lot of things I was going to say, but I will keep it short. Article 49 was the proposed amendment to the sign bylaw. The sign bylaw is rather complex. It's technical. It is voted on by all of you here by town meeting, but it primarily affects the business community. And unfortunately, many members of the business community are not residents of the town. They do not routinely attend town meetings. As you all know, and as some of us were grumbling a little bit earlier, you can't even predict when something's going to come on. And on the night that this article was addressed, the business community was not here to express to you their concerns about signage along Route 20 and businesses in town. So we think that the decision made that night was not as well informed as it could have been and really should have been. We believe, speaking for the planning board, that there were many things said that night on the sign issue that were somewhat misleading, that were inappropriate. We also listened very carefully to those things that were said, and if reconsideration is permitted tonight, it's our intention to remove neon signs from the proposal to regulate our sign bylaw. And we also have some new information from the Zoning Board of Appeals regarding the large volume of work they do under the current bylaw, which would be eliminated if the new revisions are allowed, allowing some of those members to spend a little more time at home with their families than attending board meetings. And lastly, the point I'd like to make is that the amendment to the bylaw, the signed bylaw, was worked on by a large cross-section of people living in the town, and they spent a lot of time on it over the course of the year, a lot of hard work, and we'd hate to see it go down the drain because we didn't have a good enough presentation from the business community, so we ask for a little bit of time tonight to reconsider this. Thank you.
Does the Finance Committee, I understand, has no position on this article. Is that correct? The motion?
That's correct.
Selectman?
Yes, Mr. Moderator. The Board of Selectmen supports reconsideration.
Support reconsideration. All right. Does anyone else want to be heard on the motion to reconsider Article 49? Mr. Tyler?
I oppose the motion to reconsider. This is a 7.5-page, very complex bylaw, and I think the hall properly concluded in the last session that they'd rather do these things piecemeal, where they could get their hands around each part of the proposal that was going to be changed. So the one part that jumped out to everyone was the neon signs. That is, who wants neon signs? But buried in here might be a half a dozen other similar things that we just haven't been clever enough. So if they could come, let's say, one year and say, we want a little bit bigger sign, somewhere else, then maybe we could understand that. But there's like 60 or 80 paragraphs here, a lot of tables. It's just very complex. I doubt if anyone in the hall has read it. We should not reconsider this. We should ask that they focus the changes. The existing bylaw has been working. Focus on one or two small changes that those of us will have time to read and understand, and then bring it to us next year or at a special town meeting if it's that important. But don't burden us with 7.5 pages of this is a new bylaw, nirvana, adopt it, trust us. I urge you to vote against reconsideration.
Anyone else wish to be heard on the motion to reconsider?
Mr. Moderator, in response to Mr. Tyler, the 7.5 pages for signed bylaw is minimal compared to the 30 or some odd pages of the entire recodification.
Now, this is going into a debate on the merits.
I'm just responding to Mr. Tyler.
No. Mr. Tyler's point, as I understood Mr. Tyler, was he said this is complex and that he didn't think that the town should reconsider it quickly tonight. Now, that's one argument. But whether it's 7 pages or 10 pages is irrelevant to that argument. So that's out of order. I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Yes.
My name is Nicholas Palermo. I'm on the board of directors of the Sudbury Chamber of Commerce, and my address is 284 North Road in Sudbury. And we respectfully support and encourage you to vote positively on this motion for reconsideration, please. It does take time for us to group our members, group our directors, group our people together. One of our local businesses, the Want Advertiser, without speaking to the merits, started here in Sudbury, the traditional Stephen Jobs Apple computer in a garage, and look at what it is today. And with all due respect, we just didn't have time, and I apologize. It's a very difficult economic circumstance. Our businesses, we try to carry as much of a tax burden as we can. We do know that the rate is different for the businesses than it is for residential. We try to do as much as we can, and I apologize to all of you, but we just couldn't put everything together for the last town meeting, and so we thought it better to not speak than speak half informed or with half our membership. We now can make an appropriate presentation. It may be simply to support Mr. Keller and the planning board, and that's our intention, but we do respectfully ask you please to vote in positive just on the reconsideration issue. Then we can get into the merits. Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Thank you, the hall.
Thank you. Mr. Ryan, you had something you wanted to...
Yes, Mr. Moderator, my apologies. My apologies, I misspoke. The majority of the Board of Selectmen supports reconsideration in a 2-1 stand.
Yes, ma'am.
Judy Doates, 41 Concord Road, Sudbury. I would like this House to vote for reconsideration because I think Mr. Keller has told us that what would come next will be a decided change. And maybe that's all I can say, but I would like to say a change that many of us would like.
Anyone else wish to be heard on the motion to reconsider? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
173 Morse Road. I urge reconsideration for this motion. I read in the paper recently, and it is true, that if we start losing businesses because nobody knows what is in this town, we'll get hit, the residents will get hit.
You're on the merits. You're on the merits of the article, not on reconsideration. Anyone else wish to be heard on the motion to reconsider? Yes, sir.
Frank Reed, Newbridge Road. I'm on the design review board and was one of those who worked very hard on this. And it's because of the apparent complexity of this article that it does demand reconsideration. Previously, there was some blunt emotional reactions to some of the components of the article without really absorbing the nuances. It is because of the complexity that we must reconsider it tonight. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to be heard? Yes, sir. I think it's a little early to call a question. I want to. Does anyone else wish to be heard? I see no one, so we can vote. Now, because we're split hall, I have to talk to Mr. Fox for a minute before I ask you to vote. Myron? This is a great job, I know. Mr. Fox? We're going to try a hand vote first on this, and I'll be calling you back for advice as to what you see, all right? All those in favor of the motion to reconsider, please raise your hands. All those opposed. All right, I want to try it standing for a minute. All those in favor of the motion to reconsider, please stand and raise your cards. Thank you. Please sit down. All those who are opposed. In the opinion of the chair, at least as far as this hall is concerned, the motion commanded a majority but not the necessary two-thirds. Mr. Fox, what have you got there? You have a two-thirds vote there. All right, does anyone want to vote? I guess we're going to have to count this vote. Tell us we're getting close. Get your seat in that count over there, Mr. Fox, and bring it down to me. But no, you don't need paper. You don't need paper. You're going to count it the normal way. Please. There are two tellers on the left section. All right, do I have two tellers on the right section? All right. In favor of the motion for reconsideration. First of all, can everybody get into a seat who is not a teller, please? All right. All those in favor of the motion to reconsider the action taken under Article 49, please stand and raise your cards and remain standing until we tell you to sit down.
be any confusion. If the towers tell you to sit down after they provide the roads, feel free to sit down.
Thank you.
we have ordered almost opposed to the motion for reconsideration. Please stand up and raise your cards and remain standing until the teller tells you to sit down.
attention, please. The total votes, both here and in the gym, were totaled 891. That means that 594 votes in the affirmative would be required to pass the motion. There were 555 votes in the affirmative, 336 in the negative. I declare the motion defeated. Now, cell phones. I don't put a rigid ban on the cell phones in here. I will ask you two things. Put it on silent so it doesn't ring. And secondly, please don't talk so you're disturbing people when there are speakers up here. But within those boundaries, if you can, you can feel free to keep your cell phones. But please put them on silent or vibrating or whatever so that you don't disturb your fellow citizens. All right, at this point we go on in order through the warrant, and the first matter of business that would come up is Article 55, a zoning article that proposed to amend the zoning bylaw, Article 9, 4275G. Town Council has given an opinion that this article, if a main motion supporting this article will pass, that would not create a legal bylaw, and therefore we will pass over Article 55. Article 56, authorized transfer of parcel CO7020 off Longfellow Road to Conservation Commission. Submitted by petition, the vote required on a main motion under this article would be a two-thirds vote. Mr. O'Brien, are you going to make the motion?
No, I believe that will be this gentleman down here, Mr. Sword.
Oh, okay.
He's the proponent of it.
Yes, sir. Please give your name and address.
Yeah, hi, I'm Brian Swords, 76 Longfellow Road. Move to indefinitely postpone the motion.
Thank you. The motion is to indefinitely postpone the articles. I receive a second. It does. Do you wish to address that motion to indefinitely postpone, sir?
Just very briefly, this land off Longfellow Road was deeded to the town in the 1950s for the construction of a playground and has been used as a park for more than almost 50 years. The neighborhood there is very built out, and it's the only piece of open space that's publicly owned in the neighborhood. This motion was filed on short notice to prevent development. Since then, the article that proposed development has been withdrawn, and so we are withdrawing this and feel that keeping this in the stewardship of the Park and Rec Department is appropriate. Thank you very much.
Anyone else want to be heard on the motion to indefinitely postpone? I see no one. All those in favor of the motion to indefinitely postpone Article 56, please indicate by raising your cards. Any opposed? I check in with Myron, I guess. Myron, I assume that was a winner over there? All right. I declare the motion to pass. Article 57, authorize the transfer of parcel H05027 off Hemlock Road to the Conservation Commission. Submitted by petition, motion required, a main motion under this article, a vote of two-thirds would be required. Wish to make your motion, sir?
My name is Miles Halstan. I live at 38 Willow Road, and I move to indefinitely postpone the article.
There's a motion to definitely postpone. That does receive a second. Do you wish to address the motion, sir?
The circumstances under which the article was placed in the warrant are very similar to the circumstances that Mr. Swords just mentioned. The article asking for affordable housing on the parcel was withdrawn, so we are withdrawing this article. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else wish to be heard on this motion? I see no one. All those in favor of a motion to indefinitely postpone this article 57, please indicate by raising your cards. Any opposed? Myron? Okay. I declare the motion passes. Ah, this is a wonderful modern age. All right. Now we come to the budget. Let me, especially since I think we have some newcomers here tonight, let me briefly address for you the procedure we'll follow with respect to the budget article, Article 4. First thing we'll do is take a motion from the Finance Committee proposing a budget that would be limited to the amount that would be required to finance the FinCom's budget proposal. This motion will seek only a declaration from the Hall as to the overall limit in the budget. A vote in favor of the motion will not, I repeat, not mean that you have voted for the particular distribution of the total amount as set forth in the warrant. Then we'll move immediately to address that budget in the usual way and finally vote that budget. Now, the rules will follow in addressing the budget is this. The main motion is made for the budget. There's a second. And then we will deal with any motions to amend or questions. I'll start by reading the budgets in numerical order by title and ask in each case if anyone has a motion to amend or a question. If someone has a motion to amend, it should be in one of two forms. I move to increase line item A to the sum of X and to reduce line item B to the sum of Y. The two should balance, and no further statement of funds is necessary. The other form is I move to reduce line item A to the sum of X. No further statement of funds would be necessary. A motion to simply increase a line item will not be accepted. This is so because consideration of the budget will have been preceded by a vote limiting the total amount. We will debate and vote on each of the motions to amend, and we'll arrive at the end of this process where the main motion is amended. It should be agreeable to all, and we vote on it. I now recognize the co-chairs of the Finance Committee for the main motion, for the limiting motion, or do you wish to give a preliminary discussion before we get to that?
I'd like to give a preliminary discussion.
All right, Mr. Whitford, please, you're recognized for that purpose.
Mike Grossberg, 25 Oak Coach Road. Good evening. I'd like to start off by outlining a few points that we'll be talking about the budget tonight. Article 4 really left off from April. Recap of the role of the Finance Committee, overview of the fiscal year 04 budget, and as I should mention, when we say fiscal year 04, again, that means from the period from July 1st of any year to June 30th. Revenue sources and operating appropriations, noteworthy points, and finally, what does it mean to me? Back in April, we recommended to town meeting that because of many of the unknown factors at the Commonwealth level, that we supported a motion to postpone voting on the budget until tonight to advise you on local aid numbers, any potential impact on town and school services through the hearing process, and enabling the town and schools to still plan for the upcoming fiscal year. And the reason why we did this was because we had anticipated a significant cut in Commonwealth aid to approximately $1 million in our estimate. Before I go into the details of the budget, I'd like to give a brief recap of the role of the Finance Committee, because it's important that when we get together, FinCom represents town meeting and the legislative branch of our government, and we are appointed to serve you on all financial matters. Some of the basic roles and responsibilities are to make recommendations on all financial matters to town meeting. We have oversight responsibility for all financial matters, but we don't have executive policy making or management abilities. We play a key role in the budget process, developing and issuing budget guidelines, reviewing town and school budgets in the context of the town as a whole, and ultimately ensuring a balanced budget. And finally, all the work through the year is culminating in a FinCom report in the back of the warrant to promote the implementation of the budget process that results in a clear and meaningful budget document, and something that's informative to all of you to understand the budget. Above all,
We believe an informed voter is essential for our town's democracy, and we have strived all year to try to inform you on any matter that's of significance to you. A quick overview of the fiscal year 04 budget. It represents virtually a 0% increase in townwide operating spending. It is a non-override budget which addresses, we believe, the needs of the citizens on a community basis, looking at the town and the schools as a whole. It assumes approximately 10% override reduction in aid from the Commonwealth. To understand some of the revenue sources, this pie chart illustrates that 76% of our revenues come from you, the voter, through property taxes. 13% comes from the Commonwealth. In terms of the operating appropriations in the fiscal year 04 budget that are proposed, this is slightly revised from what you see in the warrant, but on a total basis, the town proposal was for $13 million, Sudbury Public Schools, $26 million, the Lincoln Sudbury High School assessment of $13.4 million, and the Minuteman Regional High School of $373,000. Some noteworthy points. Schools have bottom-line appropriations. The town is subject to line item appropriations, and that means that as a FinCom, we need to look at the schools in terms of their bottom line. And we set guidelines in the fall for the growth in the budget that we anticipate, and the school committees and the superintendent's office have ultimate responsibility in the bottom line budgets. The town, the finance committee, would be involved in determining some of the line items in the budget. From the taxpayer's perspective, total wages and operating expenses remain flat over fiscal year 03 across the town and schools. This meant that no money was originally budgeted for salary increases or collective bargaining. Elected officials made decisions regarding the balance between any salary increases and staff reductions in levels of services and class sizes. Any increase in the overall budget to get to the 2.5% level of a Proposition 2.5 was largely caused by the increasing cost of benefits. Finally, the allocation formula between the Lincoln Sudbury High School, the town, and Sudbury Public Schools changed from the Commonwealth estimates. And this is important when Maureen Valente, the town manager, is going to outline some of the details of these budgets, because the way the allocation from the state was determined basically cut Lincoln Sudbury High School funding, which required the total funding from the town to shift over to the high school. At the end of the day, the difference between the assessment and the budgets, which Maureen will address, the budget stayed the same in terms of the 0% operating spend. Ultimately, we all want to know, how does this affect me? We use an analysis of the average family tax bill, and this is based on an assessment of $479,000, approximately. And the chart is, the top part, if you can't see, is 2003 fiscal taxes and 2004, and the shaded region is debt exemption versus the standard base tax. This represents an increase of approximately 2% on the average family tax bill, or said another way, an increase from $8,063 to $8,124 annually. Final points. Once this motion on Article 4 is approved, appropriations will bind the town to the commitments that are made tonight. And this is important because we still believe, since April, while we have better estimates from the Commonwealth on where we'll fall out with revenue, this still could change. We don't believe they'll be significant, but if they do change, we will be binding the town to the appropriations that we vote tonight. FinCom has not recommended an override this year. Relative to other towns, Sudbury is in good financial health. And finally, FinCom will continue to advise you on issues as we go into fiscal year 05 and the out years as they become clear. With the amount appropriated, better
hang on that, because I want to see if any other channel departments want to give their explanation, which I think, Valenti, I understand you want to present something to the town and for the schools, is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. This, again, is just a general discussion to give you all an overview of the budgets. Now, the schools are having the town manager present their thing, which provides them an opportunity to address you and bring to your attention something that I think should be brought to your attention, which is that Dr. William Hurley is attending his last town meeting here in Sudbury. He's been the superintendent of our schools, and I wanted to recognize that fact. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I will try to be brief and to the point. Some of the information that I will share with you, Mike has mentioned, so a little bit of repetition. I usually do it just in a slightly different way. And as the moderator has said, I will try to cover as best I can for all the cost centers of the town and then leave it open if there's any questions at the end, but to present the whole budget for you as we've put it together and as the FinCom has voted to support. And I think if it's been mentioned that what we're working from and the final motion we'll put before you is represented on the cherry-colored sheet that you should have received as you came in. With such a large turnout tonight, I'm guessing there's a few people who maybe are kind of new to town meeting and the budgeting, and I'm just going to run through a very few principles first. The first one is, what is a fiscal year? It begins July 1. It ends June 30, so we have less than 1.5 months left to go in fiscal year 03. We're voting tonight on a budget to begin July 1, 2003, and end on June 30, 2004. Typically, we make this vote the first Monday of April. As Mike explained, with the changes in local aid, we asked to postpone and come back and look at this budget issue tonight, and we have better information. Just to overview again quickly, what is the operating budget for the town of Sudbury? It includes four primary cost centers plus a few other items. The four cost centers: the Sudbury Public Schools, the Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School, the town departments, the town government, Minuteman Regional Vocational Technical High School, and then there's some other items that are put in there, charges and overlay we call them. They don't really appropriate, but they do make up part of the total financing. There are a variety of things the town has to fund, basically by state law, or to take care of, for instance, abatements. The assessors indicate an amount they want raised for an overlay, so they have some ability to give the abatements. We do not include, and this is important for people to understand, the Sudbury Water District, the Sudbury Housing Authority, or the Wayland-Sudbury Septic Facility. In Sudbury, they're different. A lot of the towns, it's a water department, a sewer department, things like that. We don't have that. We are separate here. It makes it challenging for any of you at home. You're trying to do apples-to-apples comparison. I'm going to compare how we spend on this versus how we spend on that. And you try to look in the state website, DOR information. We're apples to oranges and peaches and everything else because our way we have responsibilities done so different. The budget process we go through, we start in the summer. We try to start collecting information on cost, assumptions about inflation, what's going to happen with the cost of benefits, and a variety of issues like that. We get our assessments from the pension system. The finance director, Carrie Spidell, and I do all the revenue estimates and start the work on that. One thing I might mention just that happened last year, we talked a lot about what's going on with benefits, and a lot of people did email me with questions and suggestions, things they hoped we could do or just information they needed. For instance, I don't think they realize the town employees contribute 11, 12, even 13% of their own income towards their own retirement, certainly more than most people on Social Security. It's just the way the state pension system works. The Finance Committee sends out instructions to all the cost centers based upon the information that Carrie and I have provided, the revenue estimates and the costs, et cetera. And that's after we have a summit. We pull all the town officials together and try to give a picture. What we're really aiming for is identifying that gap, the gap between best guess and available revenue, and where we think, based on history and the services we've been providing, where the expenditure levels are going to be. This year, that gap in October was $1.8 million, and the Finance Committee takes it from there, gives out the instructions, and comes up with how they'd like information presented to them to try to start working on narrowing that gap. I'll get to the end where we ended up, but basically when we finished that process, we had about a $225,000 gap when all was said and done, and everybody worked hard, and we did a meeting, and at that point, all we did is just divided up that $225,000 by percentage of the budget to get to the zero budget that was in the warrant. If you're not familiar with Sudbury's revenues overall, this is a tough chart to read. I know it's small. I'm just trying to show you overall right now. Revenues are up 0.66% over last year. That's a total of $418,000. But even within that, it's narrower. There's what are our operating revenues. There's some money we get that's sort of like being recipient of a trust fund. You can't spend it for anything else. Among that, we get a grant from the state for repayment of our debt for the school projects, SBAB grants. We can only spend that for debt. It's not operating. We can't redirect the use of it. When we net out those things we're limited for, we had a 2.97% predicted increase in revenue, or $1.5 million. Now, that sounded pretty good, starting off the year with $1.5 million in new revenue, but I'll tell you what happened to it in a few minutes. Then there's other revenues that are not included when I call them town of Sudbury revenues. LS gets some money, Chapter 70, and Minutemen gets some of their own money, also Chapter 70, and some other things. Local aid, again, why we delayed taking the budget vote. Real roller coaster this year, very difficult to predict. We started off with an overall 10% decrease assumption we were advised to do. The governor's budget got us more up to like a 15% increase. House Ways and Means got us a little below that, to about an 8-9% decrease. And what we really waited for was today the Senate. The Senate House Senate Ways and Means Committee revealed their local aid numbers. Basically, they supported for Sudbury what was in the House version. They allocated a little bit more in Chapter 70 to the regional schools. My guess is, in committee, when that finishes up, that money may go away or not be there. We feel pretty confident, as anybody could this year, that we have the right numbers and that those numbers do support the budget that we are putting before you tonight. I wanted just a little bit, it gets confusing on assessments, and I just wanted to run through a little bit how the regional school assessments work to make sure everybody understands it. The first budget. Let's just assume I'm using round, simple, easy numbers so everybody can follow. If a regional school passes a budget of $100, in the past, they would have gotten some local aid. Let's say they got the equivalent of the $10 here. That
was you're over your time. How much more time do you need?
5 minutes.
Any objection?
Wait a minute. The town manager is trying to explain the town budget here. Do you really object to her having 5 extra minutes? Do you object? Yes, I object. How we don't. Proceed, please, Ms. Valenti.
Thank you, everybody. At least $90 for if they have a budget of $100, first they net out the money they receive, $90 less, and then it gets split by the assessment formula. I'm using 85% and 15% here because that's roughly what Lincoln and Sudbury do. Then the next example, basically it's what happened under the governor's budget. Local aid was totally taken away. So there's nothing to offset it. That amount's divided by the assessment ratio. In the third example, local aid is lowered, as it is under the House. So the assessment, again, just changes for that. But if you keep your eye on the top number, the budget, it hasn't changed. When we get to the final budget, you'll see that. The budget for LS and Minuteman really didn't change. What's changing is this net, and then the assessment after the Chapter 70 is subtracted. So LS provided this information, again, to see what happened before and after House Ways and Means, but if you keep your eye on the top number, you can see it didn't change. The assessments did because it netted out what the revenue was, the Chapter 70 and other aid that they received. So where does that leave us when we're all of a sudden done in terms of a change from the warrant? And just summarize the few lines here that did change from what's in your warrant. That asks us up $275,000. If you went back to the previous chart, you could see that was after the subtraction of the aid. That's because of the aid, so the assessment went up. Same with about Minuteman School. Their assessment changed simply because of the aid that offset it, not the original budget. The town did change $75,000. Mike mentioned that in terms of the inflexibility of the town budget and how we can address some things. The town employees were the only one when this budget was voted on May 6th. There was no money for or allocation for them to receive any kind of cost of living increase. The FinCom voted this extra $75,000, of which $10,899 is already in the budget. It's a 1.5% cost of living for any employee who is not under any kind of agreement, any kind of contract, has any kind of thing. They're just the unrepresented employees, and then there is another balance that's in there under salary adjustment so that the town has some room to negotiate with the unions, police, fire, and supervisory. Again, I mentioned, wrapping up here, $1.5 million may seem like a whole lot of new money to play with, but under that, $1.1 million went towards the increase in benefits and fixed costs. Property insurance, health insurance, Medicare, all those things we just have to pay. Those costs are rising alarmingly. $292 just represents those increased assessments I talked about. So their budget didn't change for the regional schools, but because more of it had to be picked up by the town of Sudbury, that's the increase in assessments. Really, as Mike said before, when all was said and done for the FY04 budget, after you take out these benefits and fixed costs and subtract this thing called an ambulance offset for the town budget, all the town cost centers went down. They had less money to spend, recommending in 04 than they had in 03. Now, I'll just prepare a handout so you can see more details, and I hope all of you pick that up, and you can probably follow at the end if you didn't get one to be able to do that. The Sudbury Public Schools and I and the town hope you have read your warrant and able to look. Information about Minuteman is in there as well. They're all available if you have a question. I will close with the thought I closed with from last year. Research shows it's how we handle a situation, not whether we experience one, that will predict our future. We took a tremendous amount of time on the budget this year. We know other goals and activities we wanted weren't pursued, but this was because it was such an extraordinary demanding year. You've probably heard the phrase, this is the worst in terms of for the town and state budget since the Depression. It has been a tremendous amount of effort and work to try to craft a budget with limited resources and unknown amount of resources from the state and to follow that. We had, last year, it came upon us fairly suddenly. This year, we had time to prepare, to look, to adjust. We did that. A no override budget. We know this budget doesn't make anybody happy, and everybody's got a different reason for being unhappy, but I think for all of us collectively, speaking for the board, the school committees, and the finance committee, we're determined to continue to work methodically and carefully to protect our assets, our town services and staff, our educational services and staff, our AAA credit rating, and to follow a town decision-making process that's inclusive, cautious, and reflects and supports a wonderful community. The future looks challenging right now as we as a town are trying to find out how to do the right thing on so many complex issues. Thank you for your attention. I hope you'll support this budget.
I now recognize the co-chair of the Finance Committee for a motion to take up a budget limited to the amount of $61,991,452. Do I have such a motion?
So moved.
Does that receive a second? Anybody wish to address the limiting motion? I see no one. All those in favor of the limiting motion under the budget article, please indicate by raising your cards. Any opposed? Okay. Myron, what do you got there? Okay. I declare the motion passed. Now, at this point, it is time for the main motion for the budget article.
Move that the town appropriate the sums of money set forth in the handout entitled May 21st, 2003, Article 4, Budget Recommendation, under the column Final FinCom Recommended Fiscal Year 04 for Fiscal Year 2004, the following items to be raised as designated by transfer from available fund balances and interfund transfers. From ambulance reserve for appropriation account to 200 public safety in the amount of $210,853. From free cash to 900 unclassified benefits in the amount of $940,000. From abatement surplus to 900 unclassified benefits, $273,138. From retirement trust fund, 900 unclassified benefits, $15,000. The sum of $4,119,180 set forth as Sudbury Public Schools employee benefits to be immediately transferred and added to item 900, employee benefits, so that the employee benefits total will be $6,807,777 to be expended under the direction of the town manager, and the sum of $373,813 for the Minuteman Regional Assessment is based on a regional school district budget of $15,443,465 as reduced by its estimate of state aid set forth under Scenario C in the April 16, 2003 bulletin of the Minuteman Regional School District, provided, however, that all state aid received above said Scenario C estimate shall be used to reduce the fiscal year 04 assessment, and that any increase in the amount to be raised by assessment on the town shall require approval by subsequent town meeting.
Does that receive a second?
It does. We've had the FinCom's discussion. The selectmen wish to add anything beyond what the town manager had to say?
No. All right. At this point, I will go through the budget items, and anyone who has a motion to amend or a question will make it at that time. If the question simply is, we'll try to get an answer right away from you. If it has a motion to amend, we'll argue it and debate it. All right, number 100, first of all, the schools. Any motion to amend or questions? 100, the general government. 200, public safety. 400, public works. 500, human services. 600, culture and recreation. 900, town employee benefits. 900, unclassified and transfers. That's a record. Democracy is wonderful. All right. At this time, then, since there were no motions to amend, is there anyone else wish to speak on the budget at all? I see no one. All those in favor of the budget, the motion on the budget made under Article 4 by the co-chair of the FinCom, please indicate by raising your cards. Any opposed? As far as this hall is concerned, it's unanimous. I don't know if they got enough votes to outright us here or not. Minor, what do you got? Let's hear that again. Okay, same here. All right, I declare the budget passed unanimously. Just a minute, a minor thing. It's become customary for me at this time to always say when the budget article passes, my thanks to the members of the Finance Committee. They are appointees of the moderator. Some people have said this is a large group of ex-friends of mine who conned them into going on the committee and got really upset at midnight the first night. But the FinCom does work very, very hard, and they work, in my case, on the Finance Committee. You were always a hero because it was you against the tax rate. These people have to cut up a limited pie, and it's not easy. They work very hard at it. In addition, I would like to point out that two members are leaving the committee this year, Don Hutchinson and Bob Herstack, and I'm very grateful for their service. Thank you. We now come to Article 2, Fiscal Year 03 Budget Adjustments. This was submitted by the Selectmen. The vote required on a main motion under this article would be a majority vote. Ms. Rapinian?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Move to amend the votes taken under Article 5, FY03 Operating Budget of the 2002 Annual Town Meeting by transferring $17,000 from Reserve Fund Transfer Account to 500 Human Services.
Does that receive a second? It does. Ms. Rapinian, you recognize in support of the motion?
Ms. Valenti will speak to that, sir.
Thank you. Ms. Valenti?
Thank you. As I explained, there are two different fiscal years. This one affects fiscal year 03, which we're currently in, have about a month and a half left for. Every year we put a certain amount of money, this year I believe $160,000, into the reserve fund for unforeseen and emergency things that might happen because the town doesn't have bottom line authority to move money around. We've done very well. There are not as many unforeseen emergency expenses. Therefore, I propose to the Finance Committee with their approval to transfer $17,000 out of that fund so that the Board of Health may hold a hazardous waste collection day. We didn't have money for it originally in the 03 budget. We don't have room for it in the 04. To wait till 05 seems to mean running risks for our environment and our community that people are going to start dumping hazardous materials wherever they can when they need to get rid of them. This is an important item for the environment, and I'm pleased that the Finance Committee agreed with this transfer so that the Board of Health can hold the hazardous waste day. Thank you.
Finance Committee wish to be heard on the motion.
Finance Committee supports the motion. Mr. Moderator.
Anyone else wish to be heard on this motion under Article 2? I see no one. All those in favor of the motion under Article 2, please indicate by raising your cards. Any opposed? It appears to be unanimous in this hall. Mr. Fox? He said just nearly unanimous, so I'll just declare it as overwhelmingly passed. Okay. This brings us to Article 33, the cutting property, submitted by the Selectmen. The vote required on a main motion under this article would be a two-thirds vote. Ms. Rapinian?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. We move to indefinitely postpone Article 33.
The motion is to indefinitely postpone Article 33. Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Pinion, do you wish to address the motion?
Yes, thank you. The purchase of the cutting property needs to be further postponed and to be taken up at a later date. Negotiations with the family remain ongoing. We would like to thank the Cutting family for continuing on very complex negotiations with this community rather than selling their property to have 30 homes built on it. Since the April town meeting, the town has commissioned an appraisal of the property with funds received from the Sudbury Foundation. That report should be completed sometime this June. And after analyzing that data and completing negotiations, the selectmen will present the details of the offer to residents and hold several public meetings, giving residents the opportunity to fully understand the project. Thank you.
The Finance Committee wishes to be heard.
You have to take a position on that.
All right, thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard on the motion to indefinitely postpone Article 33? I see no one. All those in favor of postponing Article 33 to indefinitely postpone, please indicate. Any opposed? Appears unanimous. Mr. Fox? It is unanimous there, too. Therefore, I declare it passed unanimously. Oh, we have another matter to deal with now. We're about to take up, as you heard earlier when I said it would be the last order of business tonight, the possible reconsideration of Article 54. I want to remind everybody who's going to speak of what I said earlier when we took up Article 49 and reconsideration. The debate is to be confined to why we should reconsider. And given the fact we're about to take up a controversial subject, I do not think it remiss to remind everyone of the rules of decorum, which I expect to be followed by us all. In our governing manual, the standards are put thus. No person should be permitted to speak at length unless a motion is pending. No one is to speak impertinently or beside the question, superfluously or tediously. No one is to... Some say I'm lax, I'm forcing that one. No one is to disturb another in his speech except for a point of order or question of privilege. No one is to stand up to interrupt him or pass between the speaker and the moderator. The consequences of a measure may be reprobated in strong terms, but to arraign the motives of its advocates is against order, even though no names are mentioned. The manual then goes on to quote a remark by Winston Churchill during a debate in the floor of the House of Commons, quote, "My right honorable friend should not develop more indignation than he can contain," unquote. The book then continues, quote, "No person in speaking is to indulge in personalities. To make sure of this, the moderator is entitled to forbid any speaker to mention any person present by name or to address anyone in the second person," unquote. As to the rule against the use of names, the moderator is afforded some discretion to permit reference to another by name in order to identify what points one is rebutting in his own remarks. The book goes on to say, quote, "However, if the temperature of the debate begins to rise, the moderator has the right to use the rule as a pacifier," unquote. As to the rule about the use of the second person in debate, the book says, quote, "There is never any occasion for one speaker to address another in the second person, and this should not be permitted. If anyone wishes to question another, he should address his questions to the chair. Subject to the foregoing considerations, he may indicate the individual whose answer he would like to hear. Cross-examination is out of order," unquote. Now, these formal and I think somewhat witty pronouncements of the rules in our manual are really no more than a common-sense dissertation on how each of us would like to be treated in any discussion of a controversial matter. Despite the plethora of members of the legal profession in this town and in this hall, a town meeting is not, I repeat, not a trial, nor is it a medium for advertising and displaying one's skills as a lawyer to the populace. The town meeting is the last living example of true democracy, a form of government that Winston Churchill pronounced the worst possible except for any other that's been tried. A government by democracy requires not only the exercise of free speech, but also, if government is to work, an exercise of that sacred right, tempered by courtesy and a decent respect of the opinions of, and views of others. It is said that Sudbury's town meeting is the oldest continuously held open town meeting in the United States and indeed the world. The tradition for vigorous and lengthy debate goes back over 350 years, as is evident from even a cursory look at the ancient records of this town. The tradition is also one of courtesy in debate, and at least as long as I have the great privilege of holding this gavel, I intend to enforce that tradition of courtesy with the full powers of the moderator's office. And as stated in the book, those powers are considerable, and I quote, quote, "In the beginning, the meeting itself maintained its own order. This gives rise to interesting speculations as to what happened when approximately half the meeting thought the other half was misbehaving. Eventually, it was decided to vest this power in the moderator, and there the power resides to this day. No person is to speak without leave of the moderator, and if any person persists, the moderator may cause him to be confined until the meeting is over. This means what it says," unquote. The police are here tonight. And if you are confined and we go over to another night, it's going to be a long time in the local facility. But seriously, let's keep it low, keep it cool, and keep it friendly. And as we address this matter, I'm sure all of you will look forward to a vigorous and a courteous debate. I recognize at this time Mr. Joe Meeks, who I understand is going to make the motion for reconsideration.
My name is Joe Meeks. I live at 136 Aiken Road in Sudbury. And Mr. Moderator, I'm not a lawyer, so hopefully I'll make it easy on you. A couple of slides.
Yeah, first you have to move to reconsider.
Right. Okay. Okay, so I'm here about a motion for reconsideration of Article 54, and I'm moving to reconsider the vote taken under Article 54 at the last meeting.
All right, does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Meeks, you're recognized.
Thank you.
Support of your motion.
Okay, on the first slide, the reason for reconsideration. Article 54, as it was presented at town meeting last month, was fundamentally different from that which was communicated in the warrants in advance of the meeting. Next slide, please. Okay, now there's some detail on here, but the bottom line is, the way it was represented in the warrant there were certain seniors that would have received tax preferences if the motion had passed. The way those preferences were accomplished were by setting funds aside that would have in effect been a reduction in the town budget. No ineligible voter would have received a tax increase by virtue of a vote in favor of Article 54, as it was publicized in the warrant ahead of the meeting. For the funds to have been restored to the budget, there would have had to have been a second vote and an override of the budget to restore those funds. Now, I'm sure a lot of you are here at the meeting. I know there's a lot more of you here today. But when we first got to the meeting and Article 54 was first brought up, there were a number of changes that were made to it, and for the people in the room, that was the first time we had seen those changes. As it was presented at the town meeting, it had the same outcome for eligible seniors, but now the mechanism and the impact on others not eligible for the abatement had changed. Some amount of the funds were taken out of the budget, as were previously publicized in the warrant, but the lion's share, three-fourths of the abatement, was a tax liability that now shifted from those that were eligible for the abatement to the other taxpayers in town. There was no vote, no ballot question, no override required to execute this shift in tax liability. So the bottom line result is, again, through no fault of town officials, the last minute changes made to Article 54 resulted in a lack of full disclosure of the tax implications in the town meeting warrant. Article 54 deserves reconsideration due to the lack of this full disclosure. Next slide, please. What I wanted to do here, too, was put a face on the folks that have signed this petition. These are the residents who signed the petition. It's a cross-section of the residents in this town. Long-time residents have stood up for this, not because it's a referendum on whether or not seniors deserve a tax break, but simply because the process wasn't followed the way it was supposed to be, the disclosure was not made in full and complete in advance of the meeting. And the thought I'll close on is that just looking at the number of people that are here today, here in this room and in the other room, in the auditorium, it's pretty clear to me that full understanding of the impact of this motion was not clear. If it was clear, I think we would have seen the same kind of turnout at the last meeting. So with that, is the last statement I have. I ask that you please vote yes on this motion. Please, let's reconsider this motion. Let's use everyone here in this room to discuss and understand and come up with a conclusion that we can all feel a part of. Thank you.
Thanks.
Does the Finance Committee have a position on this motion?
Yes, the Finance Committee supports a motion for reconsideration.
Ms. Lattman?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The majority of the Board of Selectmen supports reconsideration of Article 54. The Board has been convinced that the article presented in the warrant was substantially different from what the sponsor ultimately submitted via amendment at April's town meeting. The Board strongly feels reconsideration of this article is necessary, and we urge your support. Thank you.
Does any other member of the Board of Selectmen wish to be? I noticed there was a majority vote. Does any minority position wish to be presented to the Selectmen?
Yes, Mr. Moderator. I don't have a minority report. I think all you remember when a member of the Board of Selectmen six years ago, called for reconsideration of an article. I stood up here in front of town meeting and told town meeting that I do not agree with reconsideration. And I'm only taking this vote on principle. I'm very strong against Article 54, and I think Article 54 needs to be vetted and understood. I'm taking this vote on principle that I stood before this body at one time and said I can't vote for reconsideration. reconsideration. And that's the position I take right now. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Thank you.
The House now. We're open for general debate. Who wishes to be heard on the motion under Article 54? Mr. Tyler. You saved me. Mr. Tyler, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Would you start to start the presentation? I heard something that I didn't expect to hear tonight about the reason for reconsideration. And before I get into my prepared remarks, I'd just like to say that it was the misunderstanding and misperception by a number of people over what was intended in the article clearly stated that led us to make the amendments on town meeting floor to make it very clear that in fact we were not intending to cut the budgets, because I first became aware, I'd say the week before town meeting started, at the meeting of all of the different committees, that some people were concerned that Article 54 was going to be cutting and gutting the school budgets. And that had never been the intention of the proponents of Article 54. And now we're hearing from those same people who were saying at that time, well, you can't possibly vote for Article 54 because it's going to cut the school budgets. Now we're hearing that we have to reconsider it and then send it off to a committee because in responding to their misperception, we just simply clarified that that was not our intent or what was going to happen, and therefore that's some reason to kill it. So in other words, if we would have cut the school budget, get rid of it. If we don't cut the school budget, get rid of it. They want to get rid of it. I urge, therefore, that we not reconsider. Now, this senior tax exemption was just the work of a lot of people. Next slide, please.
Mr. Tyler, I get a feeling you're getting close to the merits now.
I'm next one. Next slide is... We're going to go through these, and I will not speak. I may have one slide or possibly two. I won't speak to them, but I have to go through them.
Point of order.
All right, what's the point of order?
Your instructions to hire.
You did. And I was grateful for it. And Mr. Tyler so far hasn't transgressed them yet.
Next slide. Next slide.
I'm expert.
Next slide.
I thought I'd go through the top 10 list tonight with you on the top 10 reasons to vote no on reconsideration. And I haven't said a thing. Next slide.
Okay, next slide, please. Mr. Tyler, if there's more of this on slides, the slides are out. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you go around the rules by putting up a slideshow and saying nothing.
We've heard a lot of criticism about the procedures by which Article 54 was brought to town meeting, and they were thought to be defective and inadequate. In fact, our town meeting rules and Massachusetts statutes do not require a public hearing for the article as it was presented, and yet nothing... What's the point of order?
That's not what I said in my motion.
Let's understand something here. I'm alert to the concern that you have, Mr. Meeks, all right? Secondly, if the test for everything that was said on this town meeting floor was that you had to pass the rules that govern, let us say, perjury, half the town would be in jail. So Mr. Tyler, I think, is making a legitimate point. He's saying that you said, well, we didn't know what we were betting on. That was basically your argument. And he's trying to refute that. And I don't think he's crossed the boundary with the slide. I, It applied for the speakers, but not for the moderator. You need to. I'm neutral.
In spite of there not being a requirement, nothing prevented any of these boards from fully vetting this during the couple of months from the time it was submitted to town meeting and the time that it was brought up at town meeting. Their lack of interest and concern about Article 54 is probably demonstrated by the fact that none took advantage of that opportunity. Next slide. It doesn't require a Prop 2.5 ballot question. That's another procedural question. How come? Why not? The fact is, there's a home rule petition which requires legislative approval at the state level. It's just a different mechanism. There's only certain things that you can bring to the ballot. Those who have these criticisms have not articulated any theory by which you could even bring it to the ballot, let alone take it. So that's, again, one of those sort of procedural things. Well, how come they didn't have to do it at Prop 2.5? For 20 years, people have been complaining that Barbara Anderson brought this Prop 2.5 and forced them to go to the ballot. This is the first time people have said Barbara Anderson didn't go far enough. Now, she should have included this type of petition as well. Next slide. Article 54 was extensively debated. It was an overflow crowd of town meeting of the size not frequently seen in Sudbury. And after that crowd of 925 considered many amendments and possibilities, they voted 430 to 345 to pass it. It was vetted by far more than normal attendance at town meeting. Another reason not to reconsider. Next slide. When we talk about the idea of reconsideration, we're also talking about what's the vision or where do we go from here with senior tax relief. The question is, what's the point of order?
He's on the borderline. Mr. Tyler. Also, Mr. Tyler, your 5 minutes is almost up.
I don't think we can count all these interruptions, can we?
Yes, I can. Mr. Tyler, I can respectfully suggest to you the only argument I've heard so far from the proponent was that the town basically did not understand the breadth of the article in the warrant and that the and what could happen. And I think if you address that point, you will be addressing the proponent's argument as it has made so far. These other points of procedure are interesting and well taken, I think, but I didn't hear anybody talk about ballot questions yet or anything.
Well, they've done that through the press.
Well, gee, you know, I hope the judge, we're not going to try this one in the press.
Due respect to the Boston Globe, I know they're here, but so we have the question as the vision, where do we go from here if we reconsider? Where we go is to the Committee of 21. There's a feeling amongst the senior community that they'd like a committee to be dealing with senior tax relief. In fact, composed primarily or predominantly of seniors. Nothing could be further from the fact. The fact is that the selectmen have already said.
There's a point of order, Mr. Tyler. Yes, ma'am. I agree. Come on, Mr. Tyler. Let's get over this.
Next slide. Okay.
Point of information.
One more.
Well, I'm interested to hear what a point of information is. All right, what is it?
However, this is for only the eligible senior citizens.
Well, okay. Again, it is not a point of order because you disagree with what the speaker's saying. You address that when you ask to be heard on your own. You may then address that point. It's not a point of order. Go ahead, Mr. Tyler.
The last one, I think people are done. The time is now to provide significant tax relief to
seniors. You know that's on the merits. You know it when you put it up there.
Because a selectman's goal last year
was to do something, and nothing that is the merits, Mr. Tyler, and you can talk about that if it's reconsidered until your pals come home, but that's on the merits.
Okay.
All right, anyone else want to be heard? Yes, sir.
Chuck Swager, Ridge Hill Road.
Is this mic dead?
No, it's alive.
Chuck Swager, Ridge Hill Road. I want to speak to an error made in the presentation, which as I understand, Mr. Moderator, is one of the reasons that reconsideration can be voted. We were told that if a family of four moves into a house vacated by seniors, that the cost to the town of educating those four students would be something in the order of $20,000. And that number was arrived at by taking the average expenditure. That number was
Mr. Swager. I'm not sure he's in the merits. He is saying, if I heard Mr. Swager correctly, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, he is saying that during the debate there was information given to the hall that was factually inaccurate, and he's arguing that that leads to reconsideration because if those facts had not inaccurately been understood by the hall, the vote would have been the other way. So I think you've got to just state the facts you're talking about, but not argue the truth or anything else.
I'm trying.
Okay.
$20,000 was given as the cost based on the average cost to educate the student. But the marginal cost of educating a student is not the average cost. Therefore, you can't multiply the average cost by four. This is important because the cost is not anywhere near $20,000, and that speaks to the argument that this is win-win, that if you keep a senior,
you cost an hour $20,000. And I can get in sight of the shoreline and I can't resist.
Mr. Swager,
I'll
get my point. I'm
done. 31 Concord Road, Sudbury. I urge this hall to vote for reconsideration because of the tremendous confusion that the voters had when they did vote at our last session. The selectmen were not confused. The Council on Aging was not confused. We read the warrant article very carefully. We understood what it said. We are sorry that there was so much snow and so much confusion that the voters did not, and we would like reconsideration.
Yes, sir.
I'm Harold Holtfield. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
16 Curtis Circle. I was very much annoyed to receive a flyer within the Sudbury paper that we get monthly telling us that COA was opposed to this. It mattered not to me whether they were for or against it. COA is not an elected body. You people up there, if we don't like what you're doing, we can vote you out of office. But nobody in COA is elected. Consequently, I don't think it's their job to come into a political debate.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Stan Klein, 68 Ford Road. A point of clarification, if I may mention Mr. Meek's name as the speaker I'm referring to, is that legal?
Yeah, you can mention the name as long as it's just to address who you're answering.
He summarized his remarks by saying, as a conclusion as well, that the attendance at that first meeting here at the high school was small, not up to snuff, if the townspeople had understood what the issues were really about. So, if I understand the numbers correctly, I just heard there were 951 here present last May 3rd, I guess. And if I understood the number you gave just a short while ago, tonight we have 854. So, there seems to be a disparity in exactly how we interpret the attendance for reconsideration purposes. Could you clarify those numbers?
The number I think you're referring to is the number who voted Article 49. Is that what you were referring to?
Exactly. The voting was greater last time, May 3rd, than it is tonight, where now everybody supposedly knows the big issues.
Well, then maybe if the number was around, it was under 900 that voted on it tonight.
And May 3rd was 9.
Somebody represented it. I have no idea. I can't confirm that number.
Okay, well,
the town clerk can confirm numbers for you.
I can tell you that the number of people who attended the meeting who were voters was in the 900 range. By the time the vote was taken, several of those people had left, so the number had come out to a lower number from the vote. I don't have my numbers here, but it was approximately 700.
Okay, well, my larger point is that Mr. Meeks made a summary conclusion based on the attendance, and even if we have an equal amount of attendance, or even a slightly greater one this week, it doesn't speak to the point that the town now understands the issues, and therefore we should have reconsideration, because now we're all enlightened and we're here in droves. That speaks to his point, and that's my only issue.
I'm apologizing in advance to people with that mic. And that mic be brought further forward. I'm blocked in my view of that mic by this device here. I apologize, but I haven't been seeing you over there.
Can you see us now?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. You want to put that?
Mr. Moderator, Ed Creech, 659 Dudley Road. Mr. Moderator, I hear the request for reconsideration that's before us now and the one that we treated earlier in this special town meeting. I am pleased and surprised to find a member of the Board of Selectmen sharing a position with me that the process of the majority will prevailing in a democratic legislative function says that one does not come back with a claim for a fourth strike because you don't like the outcome of the proceedings and therefore seek reconsideration. The history of what's happened in the town meeting in the 50 years that I've been attending it has seldom shown that reconsideration was taken up fully and actively, other than when the opponents and the proponents of the article and petition for reconsideration both agreed there was some fatal fault in what was done, and by gosh, we ought to correct it as quickly as we can. That is not the case now. The case we have now is that there are two opposing viewpoints. They were presented before a town meeting with a population as great as the ones attending this meeting tonight. It was presented after major debate, after analysis of what had been printed in the town warrant. It was as much fair warning and as much debate as any issue has or will get in this town. Now the difference that leads to the need for reconsideration tonight is that there are some who did not like the income, and they would, like Omar, say, wait a minute, I should get a fourth strike because the pitcher didn't tell me he was going to pitch a fastball. Mr. Moderator, I feel that the beginning of the frequent challenge of proper action taken at town meeting by frequent and ever-increasing attempts to reconsider important missions is going to be fatal to the democratic process presentation of articles, proper vote, majority rules, and all support the result of majority vote. That's democracy in action. I urge you to vote, not to vote for reconsideration of this article on the principles that I've stated.
Gentlemen, here at the microphone.
Jim Gish, 35 Rolling Lane. I came here tonight fully expecting to vote against reconsideration. In the 10 years that I've been attending town meeting, I've yet to see any compelling argument to vote for reconsideration for the reasons just stated. However, I think that the proponent of reconsideration, who made the petition for this, has fairly well made the case that the article as represented in the warrant was sufficiently different from that was debated here that it does merit reconsideration. So I urge a vote for reconsideration.
John Nicolette, 25 Marlborough Road. The FinCom was not unanimous. I didn't say anything before, but the same principle as Mr. Dragunsky and Mr. Krysak. I am opposed to reconsideration, even though I'm adamantly opposed to the article. I voted against it. If it's reconsidered, I will vote against it. But it's counter to the spirit of town meeting. Yes, sir.
Peter Glass, Hudson Road. I'd just like to respond to Mr. Kreitzek's argument, which was articulated well. But you have to understand that the framers of the Constitution, and it's followed through all the different levels, meant it to be very difficult to pass almost anything if you ever tried to get any legislation through the state legislature. This is one of the provisions that they made such that there could be that kind of checks and balances and everyone would be heard to the nth degree before the big change was made. This is a significant change and an experiment and deserves to go through all the process, and the process is there for that very purpose. Secondly, I also feel that in the original article it was promoted that on the basis that seniors were leaving town in droves, and in actuality, according to the 1990 census versus the 2000 census, there are... It was information that was...
That's the merits. You can make that argument if reconsideration comes forward. Yes, ma'am. I didn't hear any initial analysis of that nature. Maybe I missed it. Who did? Or Mr. Tyler did. I ruled it out of order, didn't I? Yeah, basically win. I ruled it out of order.
Well, he caught me once, but my back was turned to the wall. But I mean, no.
I'm sorry, that's on the merits.
And it's...
The point of order is overruled, ma'am. All right, there's a motion for the question. Let me ask this question. How many people haven't made up their minds on this one? As you all know, that's my favorite question, and it kind of tells me it's time to take the question. I'll take the motion for the question. All those in favor of terminating the debate, please raise your cards. All those opposed? All right. Mr. Fox, how did the terminating debate do over there? Unanimous, all right. So we are ready to do it. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call,
I what I'm going to do is have a counted vote at the start by the tellers for this reason. I have reason to believe that the two halls might have very different proportions of proponents and opponents. I shouldn't anticipate that, but I have good reason to believe that. Therefore, I think we would wind up having to count this vote anyway. So I'm going to ask the tellers to go to the back of the room. I'm going to ask Mr. Fox to start the count over there, and we will do this by a counted vote. It will require a two-thirds vote to reconsider the article. In position, two here, two in the center. Okay, will you two tellers raise their hands for the center group? One, they have another teller over there, and they have two over there. All right, you get in that position. I would ask everybody to get into a seat, please, if you can at all, because otherwise we may not be counted. All right. All those in favor of the motion to reconsider the action of the town taken under Article 54, please stand and raise your cards.
Resume their positions at the rear of the hall. Are the tellers ready? All right, all those opposed to the motion to reconsider their action under Article 54, please stand and raise your cards.
I have your attention, please, for just a minute? I'm waiting. I don't have any announcement on the vote until Mr. Fox brings over the totals from the other hall, and I wanted to take a minute to advise you all of something. A little over 18 years ago, on March 25th, 1985, I was elected moderator of the town of Sudbury for the first time and presided over my first annual town meeting beginning appropriately enough on April Fool's Day of that year. Since then, you have seen fit to return me to office 18 times, so that today I'm presiding over my 19th consecutive annual town meeting. At the annual town meeting as moderator, the vast majority of people whom I recognized to speak were older than me. Now I find that the vast majority are younger than me, and that fact, as well as others, have led me to conclude that this annual town meeting should be my last as your moderator. It is time for someone new to preside at town meetings and make the all-important appointments to the Finance Committee. I'm making this announcement now so that those interested in becoming the next moderator will have plenty of time to plan for a campaign for the office. I would be less than honest if I did not tell you that I have reached this decision not to run again with a good deal of sadness. I have considered it a signal honor in my life, the fact that you have seen fit to entrust me with this gavel and the responsibilities it represents. I can assure you that ever since that first election many years ago, I have tried to the best of my ability always to run a fair and open meeting and never to hurt or impugn anyone by my conduct. And if there's anyone in the hall or watching the TV who believes they have at some time over the past 19 years been treated unfairly by the moderator, you have my full and abject apology for whatever conduct gave you offense. In conclusion, I want to thank the electorate of this town for its confidence in me and to say that it is my earnest hope that you feel that at least most of this time I was worthy of that confidence. It has been a long run, and I must say it's been a lot of fun. And like all good things, however, it has to end sometime. I can only wish that my successor, whoever he or she may be, has half as much as fun as I did. Thank you.
4-1. Thank you.
Voters voted. This means that if required passage, you would need 1,062 votes in the affirmative. There were 991 votes in the affirmative, 602 in the negative. I declare the motion for reconsideration to be defeated. May I have a motion to adjourn? All those in favor? Let's turn.